He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
You are changed into the image of the one you worship. Men who worship entertainment, worship sports, they become what they worship. They become that image. What we worship is who we are. And so remember that. Worship changes you into the image of the one you're worshiping. Begin to worship God like never before. And I've been talking about revival a lot. Personal revival, of course. Spurgeon said this: if we want revival, we must revive our reverence for the Word of God. There must be a revival of reverence, of respect for the Word of God.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground, Pastor Shane leads us in a special message called, Get Up, Why Are You Lying on Your Face? Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31 says, God gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. As these scriptures show us, discouragement and failure are tools of the enemy designed to keep us from God's will. Please join us as Pastor Shane shares this powerful message on recovering from hurt and defeat by applying God's living word to our life. At the end of this sermon, we have a heartfelt testimony from one of our deacons here at Westside Christian Fellowship, who shares his life-changing testimony on how Christ saved his life and restored his marriage. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Idleman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Idleman.
When ministry becomes idolatry, and those of you in ministry, all of us can relate, because we get caught up. See those big mega churches. We see Maverick City and Hillsong, Elevation. Oh, if I could just be there. Let me tell you, some of those bands are not going in a good direction. They're not healthy spiritually. It's vain glory in the pursuit of men. They love to hear, they love to lead the crowd, the Babylonian crowd, but they won't reach out to the blind beggar. What about pastors? Right? We see, whoa, man, look at that. Remember a couple month ago, Jack Hibbs texted me and said, hey, we're going to have to go to another service now on Sundays. 10,000 people are here. I'm like, whoa, what? That must be arriving, right? And then I realized, no, it's faithfulness. And I'm happy, I'm very content, because new levels bring new devils. We got enough going on as it is, right? 10,000, oh my goodness. But covet, or you're head of a men's ministry, or us, or something like, oh, if I could just get there, if I could just have that platform. Shane, could I have this? If I could just. And the more God breaks you, the more you realize it's just faithfulness. It's dying to self. There's no glorified position. There are pastors right now that I could name that you would know my age that are going off the deep end because of pride. They've got tens of thousands of followers on Facebook, and they're picked up by the media. But I know what's going on in the back end. And people have encouraged me, Shane, you should reach out to them. They're not going to listen. But see, we see that in all of us. The potential's there. The idolatry's there. How many of you have led any type of ministry? Any hands or helping? It's quite a bit. You get more excited if 1,000 are going to be there or 10? Numbers, numbers, numbers. Now, numbers can show spiritual health. But I knew, thank God I knew, this week with so many, I've never seen anything like it before, so many people out, I knew the attendance was going to go from 150 to probably what it is today. And I was excited. I was genuinely excited because there's men this morning that need to be touched by God's presence. And that's why we're here. Isn't that why we're here? Rick put in tremendous effort. Phil De La Tova. I mean, you guys, Levy back there, Joe. I mean, Jair, you guys, I mean, I just want to come along and help. And people even mentioned, I don't know who it was, a couple of people texted me, why don't we just cancel it all together? I'm like, no, there's people, I think I told you, there's people coming who need to be encouraged. We're going for the 10 people, the 20, the 30, the 50, 60, I don't know how many. You know, we're going for that Jesus. I believe personally, it doesn't say it exactly, but he said, the King James is interesting, I must need go to Samaria. I have to go to Samaria. There's going to be a woman at the well who I need to minister to, and she's going to go back and testify to me. It's probably the beginning of him revealing himself as the Messiah. He stopped this whole journey to go and meet with that one woman. And when you get your heart like that, you are on fire for God. Depression can't pull you down. Anxiety can't sidetrack you, because a lot of that comes from, I'm not getting my way. Where is the crowd? Where is the ministry? Where is the accolations? When you say, dying to self, he must increase, but I must decrease, and truly mean it, not just say it, truly mean it. God will work behind the scenes. God will so fill you with the Spirit that there is a joy of the Lord is your strength. You don't care if there's 12 people or 1,200. Listen, I've spoken at events for 6,000 people, and it doesn't matter, because God's not in the numbers. He's in nearness to him, and he's got to get us to that spot of brokenness. But it's so important for you guys to know that. I'm genuinely excited, knowing the turnout's going to be minimal. Why even have it? Well, because there's one or two or three or four that you're going to need to hear what Damien has to say. You're going to have a life-transforming experience at this altar if we pray for you. That's why we're here. And I've seen, actually, this is amazing. I've seen God move more in settings like this than the big venues. I spoke at a mega church. I'm not going to name the names. But they said, okay, Shane, you got exactly, right now you're down about 30 minutes. And there's a timer right there. I don't not like this. There's a timer right there. So once it hits 30, you're done. Where's the worship team? Can I go into worship? No, you can't go into worship. It's too hard to get up to the pulpit. Go back in the green room. Didn't even have a chance to meet the worship team. They had everything dialed into the minute. And I just left there going, well, that was great. I don't know if anybody was touched. There's no time to enter in God's presence. There's no time to seek him. There's no time to open up the altar. There's no time in prayer. It's get him in, get him out. And so I feel right now, I feel the power and presence of God just as much as that place. Because it's not in numbers. Matthias, I hope I can say this, right? A lot of people don't know, but where do you play violin now and then? Once a month. At another location. We'll leave it there. A big location. Yes. Thousands of people in attendance. And yet he'll still come and volunteer his time here with the violin. And that's why I believe the worship sounds so sweet with the worship team that we have here, is the hearts are right. I can tell you, I know a lot of worship leaders, and so do you guys, and you know that and pastors, all of us, that spirit of self-exaltation and pride. And we have so many people here that are really here just to serve God. Just to serve God. I told, I don't know why there's so many rabbit trails, but hopefully this will help. But I told Brant, I said, when we do Rend the Heavens, I'm going to take Monday night, it's probably going to be 50 people, not 250 people. Thursday night, 360. Right, and again, numbers aren't, but it's interesting to see the hunger of God, those hungry for God, and where God's moving, often numbers follow. So there's nothing wrong with the numbers, as long as your focus is not on the numbers. Like we didn't, Brandon say, oh, there's only 50, let me get somebody else to do it. Or, you know, he would want to be there three nights a week, and others want to come in. So it's just wonderful to see that. And I would encourage you, if you get focused on, Lord, what do you want me to do? Remove my agenda, my goals. Many men are miserable because their financial goals are not being met. They're not retiring when they thought they would retire. All these plans that they had are not working out, and they get miserable. It reminds me of King Ahab, who cried to his wife Jezebel, oh, I have everything, but I want that vineyard right there. This man won't sell me his vineyard. Jezebel went behind the scenes and was very sneaky and had the man killed. And here's your vineyard, crybaby. So let's pick up verse 12 and I'll be done. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they had become doomed to destruction. God said, neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. The importance of presence. What I mean by that is the importance of God's presence. Neither will I be with you anymore. Wait a minute, isn't God everywhere? We've talked about that before, his omnipresence. He's everywhere. He's not just up in heaven looking down, the presence of God, the power. But there's something different when the atmosphere changes, which what they would call the manifest presence of God, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. That's where that word comes from, the Shekinah glory of God. When the presence of God is there, the people shake in his presence, lives are healed, things are being restored in the presence of God. So God says, I'm not going to be with you anymore with my power, my presence, my anointing, my blessing, unless you destroy the sin that is in your camp. Now, I don't know if that's for anyone. Take it to the Lord. But that could be very relevant to where some of you are at. And the depression you're dealing with, the fatigue, it seems like God's not moving. Could it be? Could it be there's sin in the camp, unconfessed sin? Not always. Sometimes it's a spiritual attack. Spurgeon dealt with depression big time with a spiritual attack. And sometimes it's chemical imbalances. I've talked about that before, and what we consume, what we take. And sometimes, though, it is a result of sin. I would start there. The importance of the presence of God. Ezekiel 7:13. This verse I memorized 20 years ago, and it comes back to memory often. No one will strengthen himself who what? Lives in iniquity. In other words, you're not going to be able to strengthen yourself in the Lord or get back up and fight again or have victory in God's name and be able to go out and do things. No one strengthens himself yet lives in iniquity. So if you're practicing sin, if there's besetting sin, and it's interesting. Anytime I talk about this, the emails would blow your mind. People, I found you on YouTube. I've never heard things like that in the church before. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, no, they don't mention sin. They don't mention repentance. They don't mention the blood of Christ or the judgment of God. They don't mention any of that stuff. It's not good to the tickling the ear. But see, that's where the breakthrough comes. The breakthrough comes when we are real about the human nature of sin. So he said here, get rid of the accursed thing. Get rid of the sin. You will not be able to strengthen yourself if you're living in iniquity. Have you ever done that? Like, I'm going to strengthen myself. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get into the word. I'm going to try. Oh, Lord, this isn't working. What's going on? Deal with the sin. Get rid of it. Repent. Get rid of that. You can't bring that with you. You won't strengthen yourself when you know that there's besetting sin that you're holding on to. And again, what follows is very disheartening. His whole family paid the price. His whole family paid the price. The sin of Achan. Joshua had to make a hard decision and he took Achan. And why the whole family was involved is a thought for another time. But even his cattle, his livestock, there's some Old Testament things there to this. And getting rid of the sin of everything that they would, you know, the father affects the sin, the guilt of the father is passed down to the children. And at that time, Ezekiel, God kind of seems to change on that, saying, I will no longer pass on the sins of the father. And that's that whole scripture on the fathers eat sour grapes, but the kid's teeth are on edge. It's no longer going to do that. Each one will pay for the sins of his own heart. But at this point, Achan's whole family was stoned. Can you imagine picking up stones? They weren't little rocks. Sometimes and people would be like there, and they're stoning them. They're stoning this whole because of the sin of the father, and they had to deal with this sin. Now the Lord said to Joshua, now the sin has been dealt with. It's been cleansed. It's been removed from the heart of the people. Now because of this, Joshua, now, see, there's a word some of you need to hear. Now, once you get rid of that, once you deal with it, once you get refreshed, it's as if God is saying, now I say to you, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. Rise up and now go to battle. Now go against Ai. Now you will defeat them. Instead of them defeating you, now my power and presence is going to with you, and you will defeat them. You reestablish victory. Reestablishing victory. You've got to get back. See, we think that I've fallen. Now I'm a failure. No, you fall because it's part of our fallen nature. Get back up and fight again. Yes, you fell. Although a good man will fall, the Lord will uphold him by his hand. See, it's not the fall that hurts you. You've heard that. Now it hurts. Don't get me wrong. But it's staying down in that defeated position. So many men stay in that defeated position. But you got to get back and say, okay, enemy, you got me with the right hook, Mike Tyson. You got me. But now I'm getting up and I'm fighting again. That's why there is a call to anguish, a call to desperation. Joshua was the worshiping warrior. He was a worshiper and a warrior. You have to have both of those. And I'll close with this thought. We often hear this in church. Men, you've got to lead your families. Okay? We know that. Now, there's a lot to that word. It would take a whole sermon. But it's interesting, as I was doing a word study, this word lead can also mean a route of access. In other words, open that door, it leads to the back. So you, men, we are actually a point of access for our family. Let me lead you to the Savior. Let me lead you to obedience to God's word. Let me show us the way out. Let me take control and authority in the situation and pray for my family. Let us get access to the Father again. But we don't want to. We sit at home. We let the wives go to Bible study. When God says, no, you got to reverse the order of the headship. You lead and you access that point of access to the Father. It also means to organize and direct. You organize your family. You direct them. And then the woman is supposed to respect. Now, what's interesting, another definition for that word is not to interfere. So as you're directing, as you're opening the access to God through the word, through worship, through these things, you're leading. She then wants to step back and not interfere with your leadership. It's respecting your direction. And many times you say, she does not respect me. Are you leading? Are you loving her as Christ loved the church? Now, there are challenging women. I got it. And personalities. Right? Not everyone's Little House on the Prairie. there's some fighters. There's some contentious in this. And men are hard. And women are hard. It's part of our sinful nature. But ultimately, the men leads and says, this is the route of access. And then she doesn't interfere and respects that decision. That's the flow of God, but we've got to give them something to respect. And that's why I talk about prayer often. Men, you've got to become men of prayer. John Bunyan said this, 12 years in prison for the truth. The truth that I know now and that I know best, I have learned on my knees. I never know a thing well till it is burned in my heart by prayer. Did you know that your worship, I don't remember who said this. Worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one being worshiped. The worshiper, you are changed into the image of the one you worship. What you worship, you turn into that image. What happened in Texas this last week at that concert? 50,000 people, and that guy had a tunnel on there. See you at the other side. And that demonic presence was so thick; they were worshiping that, and that you look like what you worship. Men who worship entertainment, worship sports, they become what they worship. They become that image because what we worship is who we are. And so remember that. Worship changes you into the image of the one you're worshiping. Begin to worship God like never before. And I've been talking about revival a lot. Personal revival, of course. Spurgeon said this, if we want revival, we must revive our reverence for the Word of God. There must be a revival of reverence, of respect for the Word of God. So with that all as the backdrop, a couple things. I'm going to have Damian come up and share his testimony briefly. It's amazing.
Psalm 66:16 says, come and hear all that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I was asked last night to share my testimony. And when you're asked, you have to believe it's for the purpose of God, for his glory, and for maybe that's somebody here today. So let me just go back 8 years, and I decided to take on this thing called Christianity. I attended a church down in the Santa Clarita Valley. I had a rock star atmosphere, lights, smoke, the whole thing. But there was no fear of God there. There was no repentance, and there was no conviction. It wasn't until I fast-forwarded 4 years from that point, we decided to give Westside Christian a try. And that's where conviction and repentance really set into my life. Since I was 12 years old, I was battling with alcohol. It took my mom's life at age 38. It took my brother at 39. And there was a point in my life I didn't think I was going to make it to 40. But by the grace of God, I did. 3 years ago, Labor Day weekend, I was being myself, and I let alcohol take me to that point of I didn't want to live anymore. I don't know how much I drank that day, but I was well beyond my means and well beyond any thinking. And I was literally this far from death. Because in all my pride, I started an argument with my wife. She took the girls and she went to her folks. And so I was left by myself, the king on his throne. And that night began to take me to places that I'll never go again. And ended up at the foot of my bed with a loaded shotgun. And my thumb was sitting this far from the trigger. And everything in my mind was telling me to do it. Because there was nothing in this life that was good. I was no good for my kids. I was no good for my wife. They're better off without me. And that's when I came to the end of myself. And I cried out, God, help me. I can't do this on my own. Take this from me. And that's when everything went dark. And I woke up the next morning. Thank God I woke up the next morning. And God did what he can do. When you surrender your heart and you give whatever you're fighting with to him, he will take it from you. He took any desire, any thought of wanting to ever touch alcohol again away. Just like that. Just like that. Praise God. The other half of the coin was, during all this time, my wife was obviously dealing with this issue that I had, this struggle, this bondage that I was stuck in. And it would cause a lot of arguments at times. But she got to the point where she couldn't battle this anymore. So, in my thought was, okay, she's finally given in, I'm going to do what I want. She gave it over to God. And she went home to her parents that night and she prayed. She prayed like she never prayed before because she knew that she couldn't get me out of this bondage, that it was only God that could do it. God is good, guys. Amen. If you want him to work in your life, fully surrender. Fully surrender yourselves to him and to his ways, and he will do it. Because his hand will come down from on high, and he will pull you out of that water. He will pull you out of that mire. He's in the fire with us. He's with us. He's just waiting for you to come to the end of yourself and give your life to him. So I'm just asking anybody that's here today, if you're struggling with anything, come forward, brothers. Come forward right here. Let us lay hands on you. Let's pray for you.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with his ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when he calls. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Morning, wake up, child. It's your time.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.